This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, part of the Believe Network. And joining me to take an in-depth look at the Rockets' first-round pick, Reed Shepherd, is Believe Network colleague Aaron Gershon, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats on the Believe in Kentucky podcast. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, Aaron. Good to see you.
Anytime. I appreciate you having me, and excited to talk about Reed here. He had such an awesome year. It means a lot to the state of Kentucky back home, and it's a really cool thing that he became the first college player to come off the board in this year's draft and land in Houston, where the first time I actually covered him in person was at the McDonald's All-American game at the Toyota Center, and that's going to be his home arena. So pretty cool full circle moment for him.
Awesome. And the first million-dollar question I got for you, this is the biggie. How well do you think he translates to the NBA?
Yeah, I think he has a chance to be a very, very solid player. The three-point shooting is going to translate. It's so, so important. And this is a guy that honestly should have taken more shots last year. I don't even think his three-point attempts qualified in the college ranks. But if they did, I'm pretty sure at 52.1%, he would have been the number one three-point shooter in the country. Just a guy who can pull up from anywhere on the floor and score the ball. And he's a really, really high IQ player. And I think that's obviously going to translate. We see some of the passes he makes and some of the outlets he sees. And I just don't think you get that every day. And on the defensive side, there are definitely things that he needs to work on the next level. He needs to be more disciplined. He needs to kind of just learn when to take his chances. But he's a very instinctual player that sometimes it kind of gets him into trouble. So I think the coaching aspect with a guy like Ime Udoka, who for my money is one of the better coaches in the NBA, I think that side of his game, because the skills are there. He can take the ball away. He's, like I said, he's very instinctual. It's just a matter of knowing when to take those risks and not. And I think with the right coaching in the NBA, that part of his game is going to improve as well. So he's got all the tools in his bag. I think he's landing in a really exciting spot there too in Houston with some of the other pieces they have.
I'm sure you've listened to most of the draft chatter on Shepherd. Were there any misconceptions about who he was, what kind of player he was?
Yeah, I just think it kind of flew under the radar that this was not what it was supposed to happen with Reed Shepherd, right? When you think of Kentucky and obviously the Calipari era that just finished here, you think one and done. So you think these star freshmen who came in as the high five stars and they were, you know, expected to be lottery picks, right? You think of De'Aaron Fox, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, list goes on and on. Reed Shepherd was a four-star guy that was kind of for a while, because Calipari wasn't necessarily the biggest into in-state recruiting. Like, there was a lot of chatter, like, is he even going to recruit Reed Shepherd? And obviously he ended up doing so. And Reed Shepherd, being a legacy guy at Kentucky, was always going to come to Kentucky if given the opportunity. He was a four-star guy. He was a McDonald's All-American, as I mentioned. There were some people who believed he shouldn't have been, and maybe if he had committed to Virginia, which was probably the second choice for him, that he wouldn't have been. He ends up a McDonald's All-American, barely played in that McDonald's All-American game, was one of the last guys off the bench. And the expectation, you know, coming into the season from both Reed himself, from Coach Cal, from everyone I talked to, was 3 to 4 year college player. And we'll see how it goes in year one. We kind of knew at Global Jam, an event they played up in Canada, that he had a chance to be special, but it was never expected to be the first college player taken off the board in the 24th draft. That was just never a thing. So I do think, you know, the draft coverage, there was a fail to mention that. I think there was a little bit of a discredit to just how much he went out and earned the slot he was taking.
His 3-point shooting was historic, but yes. Is there anything about his shooting that lends to it being an anomaly? I believe in high school, his career shot was 37% from three. The naysayers point out low volume at Kentucky.
Low volume, right.
I mean, what do you think?
I think that's the only thing you can say, right? It's the low volume. Like I said off there at the top, he didn't necessarily, I don't think he qualified. He'd taken 144 attempts, but I think when you make 144, it's not a terrible sample size. It's a pretty good sample size. So I guess that's a fair criticism that, you know, maybe more volume and then average would be down, but I don't think we're talking about a significant average drop there. I just think he's a pure shooter. His form is excellent. He's very confident in his shot. And I don't think anything from a shooting standpoint was an anomaly at all. I don't view it that way. Do I think there are definitely some things he needs to work on and to improve at the next level to ensure that his shot stays that way. And like I said, more so in the defensive end, yes, but I don't think an anomaly would be fair to the year he had by any means.
And you saw, I'm sure, every game NBA range we're talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely. And some really clutch shots too. I mean, I think the game that kind of solidified himself, he was already, you know, in the lottery discussion basically all season, but he had a game down in Starkville at Mississippi State where it wasn't, you know, four for seven from three that night, hit some NBA threes, but just he was able to get every spot on the court, whether we're talking floater, layup, mid-range three, he was just hitting from everywhere. Scored 32 that night, scored a floater as the clock expired to win at the buzzer, shot 11 for 14 from the field. I mean, he had a couple games like that. The game at Tennessee where he went 7 for 10 for three, went 7 for 8 for three in an early season game against Stonehill. I mean, he just was a knockdown shooter from all aspects, all areas on the floor, but from three, yeah, NBA range. We're not talking right behind the line, maybe toeing the line three. He's a guy who was an assassin from deep. I mean, again, you don't shoot 52% on accident.
The key to unlock Shepherd as a legitimate NBA starter is the ability, I believe, to play the point guard position. Does he have the ball handling and leadership to do that?
Leadership and passing, I definitely think are there. No doubt about it. I mean, when he came off the floor, there's a reason why Kentucky fans are still so pissed off at John Calipari, is because he didn't start for them. And he was a guy that just set the tone for everything they did. He was the tone setter of this offense. And again, I think his assist numbers were near borderline 5 assists per game. So I think the floor general aspect, there were some passes that made you turn your head for sure that he would make. He would definitely see things that I don't think every point guard could. The ball handling is there as well. The turnover numbers weren't horrible, I don't believe, off the top of my head. I think he had 60-ish on the year, and he was their primary ball handler a lot of the year. You know, DJ Wagner was kind of in and out of the lineup with injury. Even when DJ was starting over him, Reed was playing the majority of the minutes, just not necessarily the first 3 to 4. So, I definitely think he could play the point guard position for sure, and I definitely know he can play the two. So it'll be interesting to see what Houston decides to do there.
You mentioned Calipari. What was his reasoning when he was asked about that? Why him and Dillingham were not starting?
It was ridiculous. He said it didn't matter who's starting because we're winning, which the problem is they ended up the bottom fell out at the end of the year, losing in the SEC tournament first game, and then, of course, the Oakland game. So there was no really ever good explanation for it. Cal is a guy that is loyal to a fault sometimes, and DJ Wagner, who was the starting point guard, is a guy he's known his whole life. DeJuan Wagner was, you know, DJ's dad, and Cal coached him at Memphis, and that was his first one and done. So there's a loyalty aspect there. And then at shooting guard, you had a veteran in Antonio Reeves, who's obviously a draft pick, so you understand maybe why Dillingham was the sixth man, but Reed not starting was one of the biggest question marks all year. And it just happened to be that Kentucky was a team that got off to a lot of slow starts, and then they would insert Reed and Rob together off the bench, and all of a sudden they'd go on these runs. So it was a big point of contention throughout the year. We never really got a firm answer on it, but I believe Reed only ended up with maybe 6 or 7 starts, and those were all in games that DJ Wagner was either out of the lineup or limited.
Yeah, just on a side note, I covered Calipari when he first got to Memphis. I was working at the CBS in Memphis doing sports there. And I remember, you know, DeJuan Wagner was a big deal coming to Memphis. So I know they go back to that time. And yeah, and DeJuan Wagner was supposed to be this phenom.
Absolutely.
And it just didn't kind of happen for him.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, Reed's plus minus this past season, I'm sure, got noticed by the Rockets brass. And
absolutely.
They love him from an analytical standpoint. So did NBA draft expert Kevin Pelton, who ranked him number one on his board. Did it appear to you like he was affecting winning as much as the plus minus was indicating?
No doubt about it. I think if you take Reed Shepherd off Kentucky last year, it's not like where you have a wins above replacement stat like baseball, but man, if you take Reed Shepherd off this team last year, I could rattle off 5 or 6 games off the top of my head that they lose, that he went out and won for them. I mentioned the Mississippi State and Tennessee games both of those games on the road. I mean, without him, they don't even come close to winning either of those two. So the ability, like I said, he was able to do a little bit of everything. You have games where he's able to score 20 plus. You have games where he's at 5 to 8 assists, you know, in that range. You have games where he's grabbing 5 to 7 rebounds. He just is able to affect the game in so many different ways. And the steals, again, there are times where he gets almost over aggressive trying to make plays, trying to make steals, and he'll get pickpocketed. There was a game against Florida that they lost that Calipari coaching decision didn't decide to foul up three. But I think the biggest, this is probably something that Ime Udoka and the coaching staff in Houston will turn on the tape and coach him up right away. There's play against Florida at home at Rupp Arena in the final seconds where Reed just disengaged with his man who had hit six threes in the game already, disengaged, tried to go for a steal. Ball ends up with his man, drills a wide open three, ties the game. Game goes into overtime. Kentucky loses. So there are little things like that where sometimes his hyper aggression will hurt him, but you know, the steal number and the ball production there definitely helped Kentucky win games as well. So, yeah, if you took Reed Sheppard off the 23-24 Cats, I mean, you're not even talking about the Oakland loss because they're going to be like a 7 or 8 seed and no one's going to really care what they did in the NCAA tournament from a national perspective. So definitely a winning player through and through. They just don't have the season, at least regular season, which was pretty good, that they had without him.
Sheppard didn't have his best game in the tournament. No, that final loss. Is there any kind of explanation for that?
No, there's not really. There's no excuse for it, obviously. And even in the SEC tournament, I think he scored all 14 of his points against Texas A&M in the first half and kind of cooled down in the second. I think that team was just it wasn't. I mean, he obviously was the headliner because he only hit one shot and he just seemed a little hesitant out there. I don't know if it was jitters. I think there's a lot of pressure on that whole team going into that game, just given the fact Kentucky has obviously struggled mightily in the NCAA tournament the last couple of years. And Reed Sheppard being the Kentucky kid, the legacy player, there's probably a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But at the end of the day, you know, in the NBA, there's going to be pressure every single night, especially when you're drafted as high as he is. So I expect that to be more of an anomaly. Expect that to be something he learns from and gets better from. But yeah, that was definitely an odd performance from him. And he just, for whatever reason, was very, like I said, very hesitant. I think he only ended up taking 5 shots on the entire night, which is just not like him. So very, very weird performance, but I think it's a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah, just the lack of shots that he's had in general and that performance. Yeah. It feels like, you know, sometimes he doesn't want to do something outside of the team and maybe he needs to.
that was definitely a criticism from some people watching him or some people that he just sometimes was too hesitant. And maybe that's why the shot selection wasn't there. And I you know, Calipari gets crushed for a lot, but I think one thing he was just fine with this past season is kind of letting guys do their thing. And, you know, Rob Dillingham was a guy that is he will take shots. You're like, no, no, no. Yeah. Type shots. Right. Why are you pulling up? And they end up going in when he'd have nights where those terrible shot attempts would miss and he'd let them shoot through it. And Reed, I'm pretty sure I know for a fact was given the same leash, but he seemed a little less willing to take it. Like Dillingham, just he'll take any shot any day. So there definitely needs to be some, hey, just go do your thing. You're too good to pass up some shots. And, you know, throughout the year, that was a common theme where he passed some things up. In that Oakland game, unfortunately, was where it peaked and it really showed up in front of a national audience where he just didn't take enough shots.
Is there anything that you can tell us about his personality or his interest off the court, or just like all we heard about was his parents played basketball. He's a hoopshead. He's a Kentucky classic, you know, old school. It was like Hoosiers type deal.
That's pretty spot on. He doesn't give you much in the media. He's not going to say anything that's going to turn anyone's head. I'd say when you hear him in an interview room, he's very accountable. He's very, very to the point. He's not going to give you many, you know, big time quotes. He's not going to be a rah-rah guy by any means, but I do know his teammates adored and loved him a ton. I think he does have a lot of personality that just doesn't necessarily show up, you know, in the press conference setting, but definitely does in the locker room. He was a fan favorite from day one. Like I said, going back to that 4-game event up in Toronto, you know, his teammates really gravitated toward him and talked very highly of the person he is, the sense of humor he has. And then, like you said, I mean, the basketball, the bloodlines are real. I mean, his father, Jeff Sheppard, won 2 national championships at Kentucky, was drafted, played a little bit in the NBA with Atlanta. His mother was one of the best players in Kentucky women's basketball history. He grew up a diehard Kentucky fan and lived basically every kid in the Commonwealth's dream, which is to play at Kentucky, and did it at such a high level. So it really is true that kind of is what you get with Reed Sheppard. It's just this crazy story of, you know, being able to live out your dream. And no one expected the NBA part of his dream to happen after 1 year of college, but it did. And I think he's a very blue collar guy. He's definitely going to, you're never going to have to worry about an effort or a night where Reed isn't giving it his all. They're going to, like, again, you had the concerns where maybe he's too hesitant, but I think that comes from a place of care, comes from a place of wanting to do everything it takes to win. And maybe in that scenario, maybe playing a little bit cautious, not, you know, playing not to lose, not to cost the team a game. So I think that is what you're getting in Reed. He's blue collar. He loves basketball, breathes it. And, you know, he's just a kid from Kentucky living out a dream that, you know, not many kids in the state have gotten to do. I think the highest drafted player from the state since Reed has to be Rex Chapman. And that was a while back. So pretty impressive stuff.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Before we roll on, just a quick reminder to our audience to go back and check out our conversation with Atlanta Hawks insider Bryce Lewis, who broke down new Rocket AJ Griffin's pluses and minuses on our Monday show. I know you'll love that if you're enjoying this one. And make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and your favorite audio app. Aaron, I can't let you go without asking about Cal's departure. Were you ready for him to leave? Were you done with Coach Cal?
Yes. Yes. I think all of us in the Kentucky media, I don't want to speak for everyone, but we were ready to have a new voice. Just from a working perspective, he's very, I obviously respect the coach he is and the career he's had. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason, deserves every bit of it. And I think in a couple of years from now, he'll be honored at Rupp Arena as he should. But just some of the Calism, saying the same thing, talking down to us media wise, and then eventually talking down to the fans. I mean, certain things like the SEC tournament for Kentucky fans is, it's not as big as the NCAA tournament, but it's pretty damn close because it's in Nashville, 3-hour drive from Lexington, obviously 45 minutes from Southern Kentucky, from Bowling Green, which is one of the more fourth or third most populated city in the state. Kentucky fans pack that arena in Nashville every year. And Cal, every year going into it, says literally quote for quote that he doesn't care about that tournament. He cares about the next one. And fans spend a ton of money to have that weekend in Nashville. And he makes these comments, and it's just like a tone deaf type of thing that's developed over the years. So it was definitely time for a new voice. It was definitely stunning the way it ended, just because, you know, Kentucky had him do his radio show the Monday after they lost. He went on local TV with the athletic director, seemed like Kiston made up with him. It was just, and then a week later, you know, he's in Arkansas at a conference rival. So it was definitely, I think, something that's welcomed around here. I think Mark Pope, being a former player at Kentucky, maybe doesn't have the coaching track record from, you know, the NCAA tournament that you would have expected from a guy who's being hired at Kentucky. But you do understand the hire from a youth standpoint, trying to get some exuberance in here, trying to get a guy who definitely is not going to talk down to fans or media just because he knows what this place is all about. Having won a national championship here, having played with some of the great Kentucky players of all time in the mid-90s. So it was definitely time for that to happen. And, you know, it was interesting for a little bit. Everyone, obviously, with Reed Shepard's draft stock, you know, everyone knew he was going to be a draft pick. But Mark Pope and Jeff Shepard, Reed's dad, were roommates at Kentucky. So there was that Kentucky fan dream, like, oh, is he going to go play for dad's best friend? Obviously, that was never going to happen. Reed was not going to turn down being the third overall pick or a top five pick, whatever he was promised, you know, when he got those draft results back. But it's a cool new era that's going to start here, and I'm excited to cover it.
My best Kentucky basketball story. I covered the SEC tournament every year from 99 to 01 when I was in Memphis. And, you know, we covered Ole Miss at the tournament every year. We would go there. And one of my favorite things was, as you know, as a Kentucky fan, Ashley Judd was a regular.
And she was.
This was her prime time back in that time. I mean, she was a big time movie star. And I remember going into the Kentucky locker room and seeing her there and just, you know, sitting with the guys after a game, you know, it's just, you know, she was that much a part of the team. If people don't know this about, you know, how much she follows the team, and she would go from place to place a lot of times to see him. And I did get her autograph. I actually got it from my best friend from high school. He's the guy who I started this whole show with 10, 11 years ago now. So yeah, that was pretty cool just to get a chance to meet her. And she couldn't have been nicer, and she gave me the autograph and was fantastic.
Yeah, no, she's a diehard. Haven't seen her as much the last couple of years, probably because the program hasn't been nearly as fun as it was the early half of the Cal era, but there's a lot of excitement in this program I think that's been missing. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to see any of the clips from Mark Pope's introductory press conference, literally 24,000 fans, and they turned more away at Rupp Arena. So there's a buzz here. I think some of those celebrity types are going to return this year and check out the start of this new era. So it's a really cool time. But, you know, Reed Sheppard is a guy that this fan base will adore forever. He'll never have to buy another drink anywhere in the state of Kentucky again. So I think there's going to be a new wave of Rocket fans. Maybe, you know, a common thing for these Kentucky fans. Obviously, there's no NBA team in the state of Kentucky. The closest is the Pacers, and a lot of fans don't want to root for Indiana because it's, you know, the Hoosiers. But you're going to see a flock of Kentucky fans be Rocket fans. They love following their guys, especially the ones that are beloved. So I would expect some new members of that fan base down in Houston coming from the Bluegrass State.
I doubt we kept any of them from the Patrick Patterson or the Terrence Jones.
Yeah, no, this is a little different. And even if Reed's the type of guy, even if the Rockets, you know, it doesn't work out from a winning side, which I think it will. I think they're building it the exact right way. But these fans are going to love him to death. I mean, he's a guy, again, he's never buying another drink. He's never buying anything again in the state of Kentucky. And there are going to be a lot of fans from home that are going to be, they're going to be Rocket fans now. I already know a couple that said pledged their allegiance to Houston last week or so.
Do you feel like Dillingham landed in a perfect spot?
Yeah,
in Minnesota?
I love that. I love that spot too. I really was excited when it was San Antonio, but when he got traded to Minnesota to join that backcourt and already a team that's kind of established as a winner or should be right back in the mix again next year, kind of needed another big time scorer in their backcourt. I think that's a perfect spot. And I think it's a spot where there's not going to be too much pressure on them because they have some superstar talent already, especially in Anthony Edwards, who is, you know, developing into a top five player in the sport. So I really did like that spot. I think both guys landed in really perfect scenarios for what they do best. And even Antonio Reeves as well in New Orleans, I think he's an underrated guy that I hope breaks through and is able to stay off the G League track, stay in the NBA, and affect winning down there too. So this was a fun draft class, last one of the Calipari era. So some good stuff.
Yeah, we kind of think that maybe that Calipari deal where guys look a lot better once they get to the NBA and kind of get away from him is going to rub off a little. That was my feeling. I'm like, I want to take a shot with him because I've seen this too many times where Kentucky guys are like, I don't know. And then they come to the NBA. Totally different deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan, and Emmanuel Quickley is a guy I covered for 2 years, one of my favorite guys I ever covered. And what did he just get paid? $5,175? I mean, he was drafted 25th. So, you know, say what you want about Cal. He, especially with the guards, man, they all seem to develop into stars in the NBA. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, I think he was 21st overall. Like, it doesn't matter where they're picked. They seem to catch fire.
What's the latest on Believe in Kentucky? And tell us what else you do, because I know it's not just the Believe in Kentucky.
Yeah, no, I'm the beat writer for the Cat's Paws, which is the 247 affiliate. Also, we have our local magazine and yearbook in town, cover basketball and football mainly. But this year with baseball, I was in Omaha for the College World Series, did a lot more baseball coverage this year. Cover all things Kentucky. I'm on the beat. Every football, basketball game, I'm there. It's a fun gig. And Wednesday nights, Believe in Kentucky with Vinny Hardy, former writer, Jalen Whitlow, former Kentucky starting quarterback, 2013, 2012. We pretty much just hit on all things Kentucky football, basketball, baseball when they're going. And we also just talk about pro sports. Vinny happens to be a Rockets fan just his whole life. So he was pretty ecstatic that Reed was drafted by Houston. Yeah, we chop it up every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we've had a lot of fun doing it the last couple of years.
Find Bryce at A. Gershon 99 on X. I love 99. Texans fans love 99 because of Mr. J.J. Watt. So it's a good number for us. And can't thank you enough for the insight into Reed Sheppard. And boy, it's just we're days away from summer league. So the first time we get to really see him in a Rockets uniform playing basketball, that should be
exciting to see it. And I think they have a Minnesota game on their summer league schedule. So I'm sure that'll be a very highly watched game in the state of Kentucky.
Fantastic. Thanks a bunch.
Anytime.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.